me a favor, please? Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Get lower. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jimmy. Hallelujah. I was sitting in my office this morning before service, and I got that same feeling that I used to get years ago before I would get up to preach any sermon, and that was the butterflies in your stomach. I thought I had gotten over that. But I guess my youth is being renewed like the eagles. Might as well look at it that way. When Sister Shirley asked me about ministering today, I told her yes I would, because I had something stirring in me. Have you looked around at society lately? Have you looked around at situations going on around us? Isn't it wonderful that we can sit and watch the news and say, oh boy, how good things are? You don't believe that, do you? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with our hearts open to you, our minds, Lord God, fixed upon you. We're here to worship you. We're here to praise you. We're here to learn from you. We're here to hear your word. We're here to be stirred up, Lord God. We're here to increase the level of operation that we have been given on this earth. And we thank you, Lord God, that we have power through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Because you said in your word that they overcame him, talking about the believers. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've given us that opportunity this morning. And Lord God, I lift up our nation. I lift up the people, Lord God, that are vying for different things in this country in different directions, Lord God, some diametrically opposed. Some, Lord God, that are out of harmony with your plans and out of harmony with the way that you have done things. And Lord God, I pray for the church, because the church, Lord God, is suffering from the same condition. Lord God, I just pray for all those people that are in churches all over the world that don't know what they believe. And they don't know why they believe it. And because they can't answer some of the questions that they have, they just throw the whole thing out and say, I don't have any answers, so I'm not going to believe. And Lord God, I thank you that you have given us peace that passes understanding. You have given us joy unspeakable and full of glory. You've set apart a place, Lord God, for us. You prayed, Lord Jesus, that I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you keep them from the evil one. Lord God, our purpose is to fulfill the message of the kingdom. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ and his salvation that he brought to mankind. So, Lord God, help us to be strong in the faith, to be able to withstand the enemy, and to be able to understand exactly what we're dealing with and exactly why. And help us, Lord God, lay aside those doubts. Just stand upon your word. Now open our ears to receive what we have to say this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the messages that has been preached through the years, and it's true when you understand exactly what it means. And that message is this, that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. You know what being sovereign means? It doesn't mean that you cause everything that happens around you. It means that you have authority over everything that happens around you. There are people that in churches that believe in the authority, believe in the sovereignty of God so strong that they believe that everything that happens was God's will. These mass shootings that we've been having, the three or the four that we've had where a lot of people have been killed just for no reason. What was God's purpose in that if we're looking at his sovereignty? Do you know, I can promise you, you would not hear this on your network news station. Do you know the situation in New York where the police and the politicians are having difficulty communicating because the politicians are more interested in keeping their face and keeping their place in the public than they are about the policemen. As a result of that, recently, this year, I believe, there have been 9 New York policemen, New York City policemen, that have committed suicide. Because of the situation that they were in. They go out to do their duty and they don't know whether or not they're going to be charged with something themselves. Just because they tried to protect the innocent. I bet you haven't heard this in the news either. You may have heard about it, but it wasn't spinned right. Did you know now in Hong Kong there are protests going on and are not being covered by our news because it's Christians protesting and demanding their rights to serve God, to serve Jesus Christ. Anybody talk about it? But you get 100 people out here that's marching for some destructive purpose, and they just get all kinds of news coverage. What's God's purpose in that? Do you know in Indonesia there's a Muslim effort to close Christian churches? I mean, it's not just political, it's militarily. It's like go down and shoot them up and threaten the people. They go there and tell them if they don't quit going to those churches, they're going to get killed. Don't hear the U.S. press mention much about that. They're talking about open borders. Now, I want to tell you something. Whether you believe me or not, this is the truth. What I say to you this morning, I am not saying it as a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not saying it from a political standpoint. I'm saying it from a Christian point of view. For what this book says. And for the principles behind it. You know, not everything that's done is spoken about in this book. But there are principles in this book. And you take what's being done and you say, do these match the principles of this book? And some of the things don't. You know, it'd be one thing if the people that are for open borders were concerned about the people coming in, but they're not. What they're concerned about is their own position again. And that's not just true one side or the other. Democrats and there are Republicans, and they've been in the swamp so long that they've gotten used to it, and they, none of them want to leave. None of them want it drained. Do I think President Trump is a perfect individual? Absolutely not. If he would take advice from me, he'd do a few things different. But one thing he has done, and it is tried to fulfill all the promises that he made. And you can definitely, if you look at all the information that's available and all the things that are being said, you can definitely come to the conclusion that he's certainly not one of the swamp people. Because none of them like him. But you know, no other country in the world has open borders. None. You know how hard it is to get into Singapore? Now, you can go there and visit if you get a visit visa. But if you decided to move to Singapore, you know what? You know how many hoops you have to jump through to become a citizen of Singapore? And did you know if you're not a citizen of Singapore, it's not easy to say. If you're not a citizen of Singapore, you can't own property in Singapore. A lot of other things, too. You throw a cigarette on the sidewalk, they can arrest you, and they're not shy about doing it. They will come to your house and tell you that your yard needs mowing because it's a blight to the neighborhood. Now, am I saying that's the way it ought to be? We'd have riots all over this country then. You said all your yards have to be mowed on a certain day, and all of them have to be cut this height, and they all have to look normal, and they need to make the whole community look good. Whew. Yeah, a lot of stuff has to be done in this country, wouldn't there? Even around my own house. Socialism and communism. Tell me one thing good about communism. I mean, one of the superpowers was communist. Until they found out that communism doesn't work. You know what communism is? Communism. Communism. Everybody's supposed to be equal. Everybody is equal, except the 10% at the top. Everybody else, the other 90%, all live on what the 10% tell them they can have. That's what makes them even. That's what makes them equal. They get what the government tells them they can have. And there are people that believe the bigger the government is, the better it is. Ten percent of the people in the Soviet Socialist Republic. Did you know the Soviets were not just Russians? There were all countries: Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia. Countries don't even exist anymore. Why? Because communism fell apart. Now you've got Bosnia and Serbia and all those other countries that used to be together, is forced together by the communist regime. When the communist regime couldn't function any longer, they lost control over these other countries that were part of the Soviet Socialist Republic. And now we have North Korea. I guess probably North Korea and China. And I think North Korea is probably even worse. But North Korea and China, the only opportunity that you have in North Korea to have anything other than just the air you breathe is to become part of the military. You join the army, you're taken care of. But you're also required to do things that nobody with a conscience could live with. Did you hear? You've heard about Venezuela. It's hard to hide that. You know, you got a dead elephant in the room. It's hard to keep the smell down. Venezuela, communist country, socialist country, the promoters, one of the wealthiest countries before communism, before socialism, one of the wealthiest countries with natural resources, oil just, and now the people in that country, the citizens of that country, are starving. Why? Because that little percent at the top is getting everything. And that's why so many of them trying to go somewhere else. But let me tell you some more news, and I'll bet you didn't hear this in the network news. Finland. You know, Finland is one of the shining stars that socialism has had to look at and say, see? Because they've had it made. Well, they had it made just recently when all of their leaders resigned. Because Finland was collapsing. And do you know why it was collapsing? Under the weight of government social medicine. It became more than they could deal with. Now, look into things like that. Why do we have people that are running for office that are saying, we're going to give welfare to everybody? Who's going to pay for it? Well, the rich. There aren't going to be any rich. The people that are rich and able to do it, a lot of them, they're going to move to some other country. And then when they move, there won't be any tax dollars. You know, the government doesn't make any money itself. It has no, nothing that it produces. The money the government has, it gets from us. And the more 70% taxes on normal citizens and 90% on high-income people. If they started taxing Walmart, and I'm just using that because everybody's familiar with that one. If they started taxing Walmart at 90% of everything that they make, you think Walmart would be doing what it's doing now? Absolutely not. It would be folding under the pressure. And they don't want that money to be, they don't want that money necessarily to be given to the people who work at Walmart. They don't want it to be given to the families of the people who work at Walmart. They don't want that kind of thing. They want it to be given to them so they can do with it what they want to do with it. Now, what I'm doing is I'm telling you all this is going on and I'm telling you how God's working it. If God is sovereign under that, and all these things, all this is happening because it's God's will. I read an article a week ago today in the Courier Journal. We went to visit Laverne's brother in Louisville Sunday afternoon after church. And they had a Sunday paper there and he saved it. I wanted to look at it. Brought it home with me. And you know, it comes in several different sections, particularly the Sunday morning one. One entire section, about 8 pages, except for some ads over on it. But one entire section of Sunday's paper, Sunday's Courier Journal, was devoted to child abuse in Kentucky. 8 pages. And the lead story was about a little girl, and I can't remember her exact age, but she was young, 5, 6, 7, 8, somewhere along in there, in Menifee County. Menifee County, that is not a center of industrial society or manufacturing, or anything else. It's Menifee County. How many of you even knew there was a Menifee County? How many of you know where Menifee County is? Huh? Okay, well, this was a story about a little girl that was tortured to death by her mother's boyfriend. And then there was four or five other instances, pictures and information about other little kids, anywhere from 18 months old. Maybe that was the little girl. That might have been the 18-month-old. It might have been the little girl from Menifee County. But did you know in 2018, there was 117,000. No, I'm wrong. 17,000. There were 17,000 child abuse cases reported in Kentucky. That averages about 1,000 per county. 117,000. And you know what? One of the biggest contributors to the situation that caused the child abuse was drugs. When it comes to child abuse, Kentucky is in the 10 worst states. In Kentucky, here in the Bluegrass. We know things going in the inner cities and in the big places because it makes the news. Human life, well, let me put it this way. Let me start again. There is little regard in society today for human life. I think I shared this, but I'm going to do it again because it's part of millennial statistics. Millennial statistics. Now, what age group is that? Well, that's the ones that have kind of lapped over the little bit of the millennial. Born in the last 19 years, maybe 20, 21, 25, they crossed the barrier when they were young. The millennials, that's the name, you know, like we were, what generation were we? We were the baby boomers. And then there was the Generation X. Everybody, all, you know, they do that to all of them, the baby boomers. We're talking about the millennials. I heard some statistics about that group. 33% of the millennials that were surveyed said they had no real friends. That's one out of every three. And you know, you see them in groups. You see young people in groups today, but interesting that very little do they talk back and forth to one another. They're all standing around with their phones in their hand. They're talking to somebody or texting somebody. You go in a restaurant and there are people sitting at the table across from each other texting one another. Because that's the only way they know how to communicate, I guess. They've had so little opportunity to talk face-to-face with other people. And it's hard to talk face-to-face with somebody else when you're sitting in front of a TV or a Xbox or something like that with controls in your hand trying to kill as many as you can before you get killed. I don't mean to sound cruel this morning. I'm just talking to you about what life is about. And it's amazing here recently how many church leaders, and I don't mean just church leaders that are leading churches, I mean church leaders that people know and know on a wide scale. One of the ministry team at Bethany, and we sung a song, or at least one I happen to notice up there that came out of Bethany. One of the song leaders, one of the main parts of the praise and worship team down there, decided that he'd had enough. That he was going out and talking about all this stuff and hearing about all this stuff, and he wasn't seeing anything. And so he even went so far as to say, well, we talk about miracles all the time in church, but I've never seen one. Maybe the church is too big. You need to come play someplace like New Life where you're small enough that when a miracle happens, you see it. Because people stand up and testify to it because they have time to testify to it. They're not limited to 28 minutes, so they fit the TV time for the program for the church. And we can't have anything going on other than exactly what's in our program, because it's got to be exactly 30 minutes. But anyway, he said, well, then he came back again and kind of retracted a little bit of what he said. He said, well, he said, I'm not really leaving Christianity, but I'm stepping down from doing what I'm doing because I've got so many unanswered questions. You know, I got questions that are unanswered too. If you asked me to give you an answer to certain questions, I'd say, I don't know. But one of the questions that he had couldn't get a satisfactory answer to is that why would a loving God send people to hell? See, that boy has never been taught that God doesn't send people to hell. They go themselves. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if the person can't bring himself to repent and say there's something wrong with me, he's going to hell by his own choice. You can go out here and sit down in a blizzard. And you can choose to try to get out of that blizzard, or you can choose to just sit there and die in it. When you freeze to death. Now, was it the blizzard's fault that you froze to death? Oh, no. It was God's. I don't know why God chose to do it that way. But for some reason or other, he let my little boy that had wandered out when he wasn't supposed to and got lost in the woods and he froze to death out there. I don't know why God did that. Let's put it that way. Why God did that, but I know there must be a purpose. You start thinking that way, you're going to have a lot of unanswered questions. Marty Sampson. Anybody recognize that name? You've seen it several times up here on this board. He's a songwriter, Christian songwriter. He stepped down. Not going to be a Christian anymore. Wrote all these songs, blessed people. We sing them to get happy, tears run down our face, and we worship God, and then he walks away. Thank you for giving to the Lord. You remember that song by Ray Bolts? After he did that song, you know what Ray Bolts did? He came out of the closet and declared himself to be homosexual or embraced homosexual lifestyle. Now, that's another thing. We are born with either, unless there's a big deformity in the baby, under normal circumstances, we are born with biological parts. The biological parts of a male are the biological parts of a male. The biological parts of a female are the biological parts of a female. But now, what if I have a biological body that is male and a mind that can't agree with that. What do I do? Do I make up my mind or do I make up my body? Do I change my mind about it or do I change my body? Which came first, the body or the mind? You know, like the egg or the chicken. Did you have a mind before you had a physical body? Your physical body started developing, then your mind developed in the process along with it. And if something happened in your mind, it wasn't because there was something wrong with your body. But we don't look at it that way now. And I'm not talking against any homosexuals. Friends and family have some. But I'm talking about the idea of the situation. I have some friends and I have some family that are sinners. I have some family that are saved. Doesn't mean there's anything inherently wrong with the ones that are sinners. Except they're making some bad choices. They don't have to sin because they can't help it. A person doesn't want to change their mind about something, so they change their body. And look at all of the trouble you got to go through. Look at all of the risks that you're taking. To do that. But. Now I'm going to get into my message. The title of it is, Don't Blame God. Don't blame God. God made me this way. Did he? Do you realize, I heard somebody years ago say this. Do you realize that if God were a man on this planet and he got arrested for what he was doing, he would never get out of prison? Why are there laws against things that we say every day? When I say we, I'm talking collectively. As a church, not as New Life, but as the church. Why do we say that there are laws against this and this and this and this and then accuse God of breaking them every day? How many people does God kill every day? How many people every day does he make sick? How many people every day does he leave homeless? Are we going to blame God for all that? If we are, then we, no wonder we're in a mess. Psalm 14 says this. Begin with verse 1. Well, it is verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you know why he said that? Because he looked around at what's going on in the world and said there couldn't be a God if all of this is happening. Or if they do believe in God, they can't reconcile, like he said, how can God do all this? And you know, John 3:6 doesn't say, for God so hated the world that he decided to send something to make them miserable. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. You know, I look around in the world and I see some of the stuff that I see and hear some of the things that I hear presented. Well, and I'm thinking, has the world lost its mind? Has it totally gone berserk? And the more I think about it, the more I think, yeah, they looks like I'm going to say they have. The world is on a downhill spiral. Our country's on a downhill spiral if we don't get on the right track. Now, does God get the blame and hold the responsibility for everything that happens on this planet because we say he is sovereign? Now, there's a lot of the church that believes that. Some of them believe it so strong, and I've heard the joke about one particular denomination that does it, and this person belongs to that denomination, fell down the steps and broke his leg. When he got down to the bottom, found out his leg was broke, he said, "Thank God that's over with." In other words, you know, that's what God intended to happen to me, but thank goodness it's over, it's done. Got it finished, got behind me. Why in the world would God allow so many? And if you don't believe it, you start looking at statistics. And it's not just third world and other world and other parts of the world. It's right here in the United States on a big scale. And that is young children, boys and girls, slave trafficking. For the purpose of sex. And that's one of the concerns with trying to fix the southern border of the United States. So there'll be some control over these people coming in and coming out. And a lot of those little kids down there, and I don't take this as a blanket statement, and I'm not trying to defend anything, but a lot of those little kids down there are there because somebody is trying to get them into the United States so they can put them in their slave trade, sex trafficking organization and make money, 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 money. It all comes down to money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Do you think that the drug cartels care anything about the people that they're getting the drugs to on the street? That we're doing that so we make them feel better, so that we can give them a better life, so that we can help them get their mind off of their terrible situation? That's not a thing to do with it as far as those drug cartels and those upper guys are. It's money, 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 money. Why is it that a person can be elected to a federal office, senator, House of Representatives, president, vice president, et cetera, et cetera? Why is it that those people that almost have nothing can be elected and put in our government and stay there a few years and come out as millionaires? Where'd they get their money? Where'd they get their money? They got it out of somebody's pocket. They either got it out of ours, but more likely they got it out of somebody that has a lot of money, that had the government in a position to make them want to do something. And so they said, if you will help us get this law passed, we will pad your pockets. The bigger government is, the more corrupt it gets. And like I said, I'm not saying that from a political point of view. I'm saying it from a point of view of a shepherd speaking to his flock. But now, about God being in charge, being sovereign, and believing that everything that happens was His will. Don't that chill you? You're going to go spend eternity with somebody that does this kind of stuff that's going on this earth? Yeah, but He only does it. He only does it to you down here. Let me share something with you from Matthew chapter 6. And I know you know this. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why should we pray for the things on earth to be done like they are in heaven if everything that happens on earth, God did it? Jesus is pretty much saying, things that go on in this planet, they're not God. They don't happen because God initiated them. They happen because of the wickedness of man, because of the fool that doesn't believe in God, etc., etc. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Laverne mentioned something. In just a brief statement here a little bit ago, I've said a couple of things about it, but I want to call your attention again to the difference between Christian culture and a heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus. If you have a real heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus, He will eat you up. He will consume you. You will be in Him. Now, I use terms, but you know, you understand what I mean. When you have a heart-to-heart relationship with Him, you're going to be one with Him. You're not going to, and when you have a Christian culture, if you're raised in a Christian culture, that means you were taught to go to church. You went to church, or at least you were taught not to do this and not to do that, or whatever, you know, the Christian culture. And you did that as you were growing up. And then when you got to a point where nobody had a rule over you anymore, you just chose to do what you did. It's at that point that we can tell if we've been raised in a Christian culture or if we've had a heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus. I can remember when Laverne and I, we both grew up in a church, and our parents, I still went to the Wednesday night service at church with my parents when I was a college student. I lived at home, drove to Campbellsville. Wednesday night, I got in the car with my mom and dad, and I rode to church with them because that was their pattern. They went to church on Wednesday night. I rode with them. A senior in college. I mean, well, not a senior. When I was a senior, Laverne and I drove in our own car. But before I got married, when I was at home, when it came on Wednesday night, I never said to them, "Oh, I'm not going to go tonight." It never crossed my mind to say that. I just went because that was what I did. And then Laverne and I, after being married for a year, moved to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Not a soul down there in that town and miles around knew anything there was about us. We could have done anything that we wanted to do, and nobody, well, highly unlikely that anybody that really mattered to us would ever found out about it. But when we got down there, you know what the first thing we did? We found a church. We didn't change our lifestyle because now there's nobody looking over our shoulder. Because we had a heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus. We weren't doing it just because our parents told us to. We weren't doing it just because we were in that circle of society that was a Christian culture. It was because we chose to, and we stood on our principles. We resigned, and later on we found out, and we were getting ready to move to Illinois, but we found out that it was a good church. The preacher preached good. There was big crowds on Sunday morning. We went Sunday morning. We went to Laverne Wednesday night, and there was about 8 people there. And I went to church basketball practice because I was on the basketball team. But anyway, they asked us if we would help with the youth, and sure. And we weren't going to be in charge because they had a youth pastor. They just needed some people to work with the youth pastor. Well, we found out, because we didn't get to plan anything, one of the youth meetings at the church on the youth night, whatever that was, I can't remember, it wasn't on Wednesday night, it wasn't on Sunday, it was one of the other nights of the week. The youth group that night was going to have a seance. And, I mean, we just froze in our tracks. And we shared our opinions about it. And the youth pastor was a guy from Nashville. He was going to school over there for something. We saw one of his... one night they did a play and we went to see him. He was a pretty good actor. Pretty good actor at church too. But anyway, we said, well, no. If you're gonna do this, we're not gonna be part of it. And so we just stepped out. And then got involved in church up in Illinois, and man, you wouldn't have heard nothing. I know God led us to the church, even if it was a Baptist. And God led us there because they were not what I understood Baptists to be. And that's where I answered the call into the ministry. You know what John 10:10 says? You know that one. The thief cometh not but. Now let me put it in English. The thief doesn't come but for one purpose. And that is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now there are a lot of people accusing God of killing and stealing and destroying because after all, God is sovereign. You know, a sovereign person doesn't necessarily approve or institute everything that happens under their sovereignty. But when the real truth comes down and so you know where the rubber hits the road and you're standing there, that sovereign has the right to decide what the fate of the individual is. He has the last word. And if you're going to be a part of his sovereignty, you're going to understand that he has the last word. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't accidentally set your house on fire and it burn up, and you can't blame that on the sovereign. You did it. He's sovereign. Why did he let it happen? He didn't let it happen. You let it happen. He's wanting to prevent us. The thief cometh not for any other reason but to steal and kill and destroy. But, now when he says but, I assume that he is separating himself from what has just been said. Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly than what you have it now. And stealing, killing, and destroying is not part of the resume. Now, like I said, if you're going through all this because God's doing it, when you get to heaven, what are you going to find? Are you going to find a supreme sovereign with schizophrenia? That when he's in the one mental state, he's good to you. But once that other side kicks in, oh, look out. If it happens now, what's to say it won't happen 20,000 years from now? If God does all this down here on this earth, how can you trust him to believe that heaven's what he says it is? If you look around you and all the bad stuff is God's fault, then when's he going to change? Oh, he doesn't treat, when we go to heaven, he doesn't treat us that way. Write this reference down. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. The Lord said, I change not. Oh, Israel, that's why you're not consumed. In other words, God was saying to them, if you got what you deserved, you'd be consumed. But I'm not going to consume you because I don't change. I'm good all the time. You know that little thing? Well, God's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. If you had a person, you knew they had schizophrenia and you knew that they were doing stuff that run chills up your back and they knocked on your door and you said, hello? Who is this? This is God. God. Is he going to be the God that tells me that he loves me? Or is this going to be a message of gloom, doom, and despair? You'd be hesitant to open the door. Because you wouldn't know whether he was going to say, I love you, or whether when you open the door, you're standing there with a double-barrel shotgun, pow. God is sovereign, but God is not responsible for everything that happens on this planet. It's people that go against God's sovereignty that bring it to pass. Nobody ever got directions from God to start a drug cartel. Nobody. Nobody ever got a word from God about child sex trafficking. Nobody ever got a word from God about getting drunk, except that he says in the Bible, don't do it. One more scripture. And it's in James. Verse 16. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What comes down from God? the things that cause abundant life, good gifts, perfect gifts, come down from God. The Father of lights, in whom there is no changing, said Malachi, I change not. It says here, there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. In other words, he's not dark one time and light the next. He's not mean one time and good the next. He doesn't send you a good gift, and then as soon as you get the good gift, the next day you get a booby trap. You open it, it blows your face off. Now, what are you going to do? How are you going to stand? Do you believe God is responsible for all the bad stuff that happens? If you do, you have a problem reconciling the scriptures, and you will come to a point where you will have questions that cannot be answered. Now, closing statement. It's not a matter of circumstances. Not a matter of circumstances. It's a matter of the heart. You don't judge things on circumstances. You judge them by your heart's relationship with Jesus Christ. Do I have things that I don't wonder about, that I don't know about? Sure I do. I have stupid stuff come through my mind all the time, just like you. Now, where are we getting it from? We're not getting it from God. God's not interested in messing you up. But the devil sure is, because he's come for one purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. Good stuff comes from God. Bad stuff comes ultimately from the devil. Now, he may use a person to bring it to you. He may use a circumstance or a situation to bring it to you. But all evil resides in Satan. All good resides in God. God separated himself. You know, one of the things that the devil tempted Adam and Eve with about eating the fruit, he said, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And did you know God knew good and evil, and God purposed once and for all to separate himself from evil? And he became God. And that's another message. But God's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Live by that. And when you see the circumstances, realize they are circumstances. And if they have to, they do a steal, kill, and destroy, you know where they came from. Let's stand. Now, I'm sure that I didn't teach anything this morning that you didn't already know. But sometimes it's not what we know that's the problem. It's what we're doing about it. We can choose the wrong thing to do, but we don't want to do that. I give you a choice. There's a button here. Choose God, choose the devil. Choose God. Choose God. Every circumstance and every situation, choose God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings you've given us. And your kingdom is here on this earth. In the midst of the darkness of this world, we are the light of the world. You said we were, Jesus. You said you were the light of the world, and then you said we're the light of the world. And it's our purpose to shine. Shine into the darkness and not tell somebody that the darkness is caused by God to happen to them. But let us walk in truth and realizing that it's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And you came to do the very opposite. And we thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord God, for the strength that's going to be found in every person here this morning, this coming week, to deal with every circumstance and situation that comes their way. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to be faithful to fulfill that. Ask your blessings, Lord God, upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you and have a good week. And if something goes wrong, don't blame God.